Do you memorize Scripture? Learn the importance of Scripture memory today on Changed by Grace. Welcome to Changed by Grace. I'm Pastor Steve Herford. How many times have you been challenged to memorize Scripture, only to give the excuse that it's too hard? Well, before you focus on how to do it, you need to understand why you should do it. And in today's message, we'll look at Psalm 119 and verse 11 and learn the importance of Scripture memory.
One Scripture passage that I want us to look at this morning is found in Psalm 119. I'd like to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 119. And it's a very familiar passage. It's found in verse 11. Psalm 119, verse 11. Many of you have already memorized this verse, and you use it as the basis for Scripture memory, and correctly so. As we look at this morning, I want to read a little bit of the context that falls around this verse. I want to begin back at verse 8. The psalmist says, "I shall keep your statutes, do not forsake me utterly. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you." Here the psalmist proclaims his determination not to sin against God. That is, not to disobey any of God's commands. And so in order to do that, he has to treasure God's word in his heart. You'll notice there in verse 11, the Hebrew word for treasured, or you may have hide or hidden, the word means to store up, to store away, to hide away. And here, it certainly may mean to memorize the law of God. And this meaning seems to be supported by, if you look down at verse 13, he says, "With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth." So that speaks of the recitation of all the laws that God has given to his people. You could also look at verse 15. He says, "I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways." Most important activity that you and I could give ourselves to is Scripture memory. It is so needful, it's so important, but yet it's not treated as such in many cases. It is a difficult discipline, but it falls right in line with the other disciplines, right? Bible study, prayer, witnessing. This all falls right in the same line. And this all falls also in our understanding of what is foundational for the Christian life. We've been talking about foundations, talking about those basic things that we need to commit ourselves to, that we need to always come back and examine. Our time in the Word, surrendering to its authority, talking about prayer. We always need to have an attitude of prayer, witnessing. We should every day seek with all of our heart to pray that God would use us to be a witness for Him and to be prepared, as Peter said, to give an answer for the reason of the hope that you have within you. I was telling a few people earlier this morning, as we were talking a little bit about witnessing, that I had an opportunity this week to respond to someone asking me, "What does what if mean?" And I was standing there at their room at the hotel, and he said, "I want to ask you, what does what if mean?" And to get my bearings, I said, "Well, it could mean several things." But I said, "It means, what if you were to die tonight or right now, where would you spend eternity?" And I didn't even think twice about saying that. In fact, he reached his hand out and he shook my hand. He said, "I would be stuck with Jesus for all eternity. Thank you for being a bold witness. We need to share the gospel." I was like, "Well, praise the Lord," you know. And, you know, just throughout the week, we have opportunities to share the gospel. And this gentleman here, he said, "I saw your bracelet earlier, you know, when I was downstairs, and I was thinking about that." And then, of course, I had to come to his room. And he asked me, and I was thinking when I walked away, if I'm going to wear this, then I got to be prepared to talk about it, right? Same way if I'm going to carry a track in my pocket and I'm going to purposely leave it sticking out so you can see a $1 million bill in my pocket. It's funny people's reaction to those $1 million bills, you know? I went through a drive-thru the other day. I handed one to him. I always think of something different to say. You know, like, you know, Obama wants to share our wealth, so here, I'm going to give you $1 million with his picture on it. I had one person ask me one day, she said, "Is this real?" I said, "Do you think I would give it to you if it was real?" I want to share with you the content of what's on the back of that $1 million bill. And then I always end this way. I said, you know, don't quit your job. Don't go spend it, because it is not real. But, you know, we can look for many opportunities to get the door open, to bring the door open, to talk about Jesus. And I think tracts are a wonderful way of doing that. You know, maybe you can do something like Alan and his family does. They invest into books and CDs and things like that. They share many of them with us, and kind of a discipleship right there in evangelism. And then, of course, the plan is when you hand off something to someone, when you're finished with it, hand it off to someone else. But most importantly, it's a foundational issue in our life. Every day, we should be praying for the lost. And we know lost people in our life. We have them in our family. We have them that we work with, maybe go to school with, see on occasion. We all know lost people, right? We all know people that do not know the Savior. And so again, this is an issue that we have to commit ourselves to. Just as we commit ourselves to prayer and walking in a consciousness of prayer, just as we commit ourselves to reading and studying the Bible. And a fourth area, of course, is Scripture memory. Scripture memory. If we think about it, internalizing the Word is a believer's best weapon to defend against encroaching sin. Look at that verse again. "Your Word I have treasured in my heart." I've stored it up. Why? Why did you store it up? "So that I will not sin against you." I mean, this is really a responder again to the question that he asked in verse 9. He asked the question, he gives the answer. How can a young man keep his way pure? Well, here's the answer: by keeping it according to your word. And if I'm going to keep it according to your word, and go back to verse 8, if I'm going to keep your statutes, or go down to verse 16, if I'm not going to forget your word, then the best way to keep that from happening is to store it up in your mind. G. Campbell Morgan summarizes this verse in this way. He says, "The best book in the best place for the best purpose." So how are you doing at this spiritual discipline? If you're like me, you're convicted about it 99.9% of the time. And if you're also like me, you have to put out reminders. I find as we get older, we forget. It's easy to forget. Sometimes I can be talking to someone, I've been around them for a long time, and for some reason there's a blank between my head and the understanding of, you know, their name. What is your name? All of a sudden I'm going, "What is your name?" And it's driving me nuts. And I'm like, is this what I have to look forward to as I continue to get older? Forgetting things like that? Simple things like that? And don't look at me like that, because you do it too. So again, you know, with this spiritual discipline, it's something that's foundational. It's something that is foundational to our understanding of who God is and what He requires of us. And when we commit ourselves to this discipline, it implements those truths in our minds. John Piper said, "Storing texts in our minds about God helps us relate to Him as He really is." Think about that for a moment. I was watching a video of him this week, and he was teaching on this whole subject right here, and he was talking about, you know, his reading of Scripture and how much time does he spend going over Scripture memory. And he said he usually takes like an hour a day that he'll read Scripture, and that'll take a good 20 minutes or so portion of his day. And he'll praying for his life, his family, pray for the church family. And then he'll spend about the last 10, 15 minutes of that hour Scripture memory. And he just talked about, and this is really something that kind of stuck out to me, that in the reading of the Word, he said, you know, it may take 20 minutes, but if I stop and ponder what I am reading. Now, how many of us just read through a passage or read through a chapter and we just kind of sail right through that and not stop and ponder what we have just read. Or we close it up and we're out the door, you know, we're doing the McDonald's thing with it, you know. We're going through the Bible like a drive-through. You know, let me get my scripture breakfast for today. Let me eat it on the fly. Let me just kind of do this thing. Well, if you're hiding scripture in your heart on those days when you are in a hurry, you can drive to where you're going over those passages. You could say them out loud, especially if there's no one else in the car that's distracting you and you've got to have some kind of conversation with them, because you're rude if you don't. But you can ride around and you can go, surely He has borne our griefs, He's carried our sorrow. And you can quote this out loud and your ears can hear what your mouth is quoting. Or you can use that time to work on new verses. In fact, one of the processes that John Piper says that he does is that he'll take a new passage, he'll say it out loud 10 times. I don't know how the 10 times comes. To me, it's like 50. But he'll say it out loud 10 times, and then he'll close the Bible, and then he'll close his eyes, and he'll try to recite it back after that. And then the next day, he'll review it, and he'll do another passage. I'm like, wow. I saw they have a program called Fighter Verses, and it's scripture memory, and I was looking at it. And this year, they're memorizing the entire book of Philippians. That's what I was thinking of when Willie was talking about Philippians and our verse for this week. This past week, Philippians 1:6. And I was thinking, that's good. That's 4 chapters. That's 4 good chunks of the Word of God stored away in your mind. Now, you know as well as I do that you have to review it, right? And you have to spend a lot of time reviewing just as you spend a lot of time memorizing. But it's important to understand that when we store this in our mind, it helps us to understand God. Because you're contemplating, you're thinking about Him, you're putting those thoughts in your mind about Him. And he goes on to say, as we engage in Bible memorization, it has the effect of making our gaze on Jesus steadier and clearer. And so when you look here at Psalm 119, verse 11, the text couldn't be any clearer. As I said, verse 9, it asks and it answers the question regarding purity. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. And in order to keep it, you must, as verse 10 says, with all your heart seek Him. He prays here, do not let me wander from your commandments. And if you're seeking Him and you're storing it in your heart, you're not going to wander from His commandments. And of course, to do that, then you must treasure it in your heart. And when you treasure it in your heart, you will not sin against God. Now, there's 2 purposes in mind here. One is to obey God's word. And the other is to not sin against Him. We could even add a third. If you go down to verse 16, I mentioned it. And that is not forgetting God's word. Warren Wiersbe says, we need a heart that seeks God, for if our heart is seeking God, our feet will not stray from God. Such a heart will see Him in all of life, learn more about Him, fellowship with Him, glorify Him in all that is said and done. Again, the Holy Spirit enables us to do this as we yield to Him. But we must also spend time in the Word and treasure it in our hearts. It is not our promises to the Lord, but His promises to us that give us victory over sin. Now, the psalmist makes several references to treasuring God's word in your heart. Let me have you to look at a few of them. Go to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. And notice what this psalm says as it starts out this great hymn book here of the Jews. And by the way, the word psalms, in Hebrew, it is translated praises. And the rabbis often designated the Psalms as the book of praises. So when you open up the Psalms, that's what you get, right? A book of praises. This here was Israel's ancient God-breathed hymn book, which defined the proper spirit and content of worship. But notice how he starts out. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Now, in order to meditate on the law of God day and night, you have to have it in your head, right? You have to put it in your mind. And he says when you do that, verse 3, you'll be firmly planted. You'll be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. You have God thoughts. It's like what Spurgeon used to say, that we should have the Word of God so much in us that if we were ever pricked, we would bleed bibline. And what that translates to, like what happened to me this week, someone asked you a question, an opportunity to speak about the Word of God, immediately that's what should come out of our mouths. I've thought of all kind of answers that could go to that question. And I don't carry a card around, the card that goes to it, to have different examples to do that. But I think the most penetrating is to focus right in on Christ Himself, right? And speaking of the righteous, go to chapter 37 of Psalm. Psalm 37, look at verse 31. And here in speaking of the righteous, the psalmist says here that the law of God is in his what? His heart. And his steps do not slip. See the importance right there? That sounds just like Psalm 119, verse 11. Hiding the word or treasuring the word in your heart that you may not sin against him. Flip over a couple pages, go to Psalm 40, look at verse 8. Here the psalmist is expressing his delight to do God's will, and he says, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. It's in my heart. It's in me. And that's the place that it needs to go. That's the place that it needs to be stored up. Even Solomon talked about this. Go to Proverbs chapter 2. And what does he say? He starts chapter 2. He says, my son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments, where? Within you. Make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver, search for her as for hidden treasures. Then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. The Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice, and he preserves the way of his godly ones. And so here Solomon is teaching his son, and he tells his son that if he would receive what he is saying to him, and he would take his words, his commandments, and treasure them within him, and with a host of other verbs that are there, then he would discern the fear of the Lord. And he would discover the knowledge of God. There's no other way for this to happen. You want to know God? Hide His Word in your heart. You want to be able to have content by which you can help someone in counseling to them? Someone comes to you, you get caught off guard, and they say, listen, I got a problem. Will you help me? What are you going to do? Say, no, I'm not a counselor. Well, they didn't ask to see if you were a counselor. In some cases, all they want to do is borrow your ear and just kind of unload. But maybe they say something and there's something that's triggered and something they said that comes right out of Scripture you have memorized. You can share that with them, right? You can say, this verse says this. This verse speaks to your situation. Or do it even better. Open up the Bible. Show it to them right there. That's really a form of admonishing. Admonishing is just not correcting, but it's teaching in the correcting process. Schooling them, if you will. Even Jeremiah. In the midst of persecution, Jeremiah was comforting himself. He said in chapter 15 and verse 16, your words were found and I ate them. And your words became for me a joy and the delight of my heart. So he took the Word of God, he chewed on it. That's the meditation process of chewing on it. Now, of course, a classic reference is what Paul said to the Colossians in Colossians chapter 3. Go ahead and turn to Colossians 3 and take a moment and look at this passage. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. It says, let the word of Christ richly dwell where? Within you. This verse is a parallel to Ephesians 5:18. Now, you want to know what it means to walk by the Spirit or to be Spirit-filled? Ephesians 5:18, he says, be filled with the Spirit. Colossians 3:16 is telling us how that happens, what that means. You let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you. with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. This is a whole process right here. This is what happens when you yield and you surrender to the Spirit and His activity in your life, His work in your life. You have to surrender to the Word. It's basically obeying the Word. But where is it taking place? Within you. I think the whole key right here for us to understand, and the whole key in Scripture memory, is the point of getting it in you. It's not just to do it and go through some kind of rote memory process, and then you can put your little check mark against something and say, well, I did this, and you look all spiritual. Come back a week later, and you can't even quote the verse. Or, 2 days later. There's a purpose in doing this, right? It's not that we just want to do it and say that we've done it. We want to do it to know God. We want to do it to meditate on God and to not sin against God and His Word. And of course, the greatest privilege then that you and I have is to treasure it in our hearts. Now, understand that this doesn't come without a price. It takes work to hide God's Word in your heart. But understand that the reward is greater than the sacrifice. I was reading recently in a book by Chuck Swindoll called Growing Strong in the Seasons of Life, and I noticed that he had a whole chapter on memorizing Scripture, so immediately that caught my attention. And listen to what he says. He says, I know of no other single practice in the Christian life more rewarding, practically speaking, than memorizing Scripture. That's right. No other single discipline is more useful and rewarding than this. No other single exercise pays greater spiritual dividends. Your prayer life will be strengthened. Your witnessing will be sharper and much more effective. Your counseling will be in demand. Your attitudes and outlook will begin to change. Your mind will become alert and observant. Your confidence and assurance will be enhanced. Your faith will be solidified. Scripture memory gives you a firm grasp of the Word and allows the Word to get a firm grasp of you. Now, those of you who have committed yourself to that and have been taking up the challenge that began last year, actually began a few years ago, and we just keep renewing that challenge of memorizing Scripture, and you've been taking this up, and maybe this is the first time you've been doing it. Can you agree with that? Can you agree with his assessment of that? Of how it's getting a firm grasp of you and how it's changing you? That's the power of God's Word. Now, before we talk about the sister to Scripture memory, which is meditation, I want to give you 8 reasons for memorizing Scripture. John Piper recently posted these on his website, and I wanted to share them with you. 8 reasons for memorizing Scripture. Reason number 1. Memorizing Scripture makes meditation possible at times when you can't be reading the Bible. And meditation is the pathway to deeper understanding. Now understand this. When you memorize Scripture, you don't always carry a Bible around with you throughout the day, so it makes meditation possible for what you've already stored up in your mind, right? You're at work, you can't always pull out the Bible. Unless you have one of those jobs where you can, you have some time to do that. But let's just count that throughout the day, you really don't have that opportunity to do that. So you're relying on what you've memorized. And maybe you're having a stressful day. Maybe you have one of those jobs that raises the blood pressure several times throughout the day. Gets busy, and then it slows down, blood pressure goes down. Gets busy again, blood pressure goes up. And the only thing that can really help you is the written Word. David said, in my affliction, your Word has given me comfort. God's Word. Maybe here's some bad news. What are you going to do with that news that you have just heard? Well, the Word of God gives you stability. The Word of God will counsel you. And you could take that Word that you have memorized. Maybe you're struggling. Maybe you don't feel like you're really seeing growth in your life. But you memorize Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. You've hidden that passage there, so you have that promise from God right there in the Word of God that he is doing a work in you. He is at work in you. Or maybe you have to do like David did in Psalm 103. where he has to tell himself, he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." So he's talking to himself. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits." And then he begins to recite those benefits to himself. See how important it is to have the written word in your mind? And I like what John Piper says. If you're going to meditate on the law of the Lord day and night, you need to have some of it in your head. I can relate to that, can't you? If you're going to meditate on it day and night, you've got to have it right here in your head to do that. So, reason number one, memorizing Scripture makes meditation possible at times when you can't be reading the Bible, and meditation is the pathway to deeper understanding. Think of how many times you take a passage, you keep going over it, now you have it memorized, and now you can quote it in your heart, you can say it out loud without looking at it, and then you do it slowly, and you begin to focus in on what each one of those words is saying. You begin to go a little deeper. Reason number two, memorizing Scripture strengthens my faith because faith comes from hearing and hearing by the Word of God, and that happens when I'm hearing the Word in my head. That's pretty practical. We always need to be hearing the Word. Always. There's never a time when we could say we need to take a day off from hearing the Word. If you feel that way, that's the day you need it the most. But it will strengthen your faith. The more you hear it, the more you store it up in your mind, the more you quote it, the more you meditate upon it, it's going to strengthen your faith. Reason number three, memorizing Scripture shapes the way I view the world by conforming my mind to God's viewpoint on everything. We all have a worldview. We all have a way in which we view this world. Do you view it through the lens of Scripture, or do you view it the way the world views it?
That's three of the eight reasons for memorizing Scripture. How are you doing with it? We realize that this discipline is something that you have to work hard at. And we believe that understanding Scripture memory, that is its importance, is where it all starts. That's why we have prepared today a message on one full-length audio CD for a donation of any amount. To request your copy, you can do it in several ways. Number one, just give us a call at 904-651-3351 and just request it by the title, Scripture Memory. Or you can visit us online at changedbygrace.org and download a free copy. Well, still struggling with this whole idea? Well, then I would encourage you to join us again next time as we look at five more reasons for Scripture memory, as well as how it's done. Well, I'm Pastor Steve Herford, and thank you for joining us.